You're destroying your side of the fence. It's when our military uses collateral damage, like if they drop a bomb somewhere, they have a target, and all the things that are around it that they weren't trying to blow up that got blowed up, they call that collateral damage. These things are the extra things that weren't the intended target, but they get all messed up anyway. And I know our military uses that term, and that I think there's probably even been a movie. That sounds like a movie title. It was a movie, Collateral Damage, and that's, Arnold. And so, anyway, so we're familiar with collateral damage, but I'm not going to talk to you tonight about collateral damage. Tonight we're going to talk about collateral blessings. Because I've just been thinking about the fact that there are collateral blessings. And you say, well, what does that mean? Doesn't God bless us? Yes, God blesses you. And though you are the intended target for his blessings, here's what a collateral blessing is. It's when God's blessing on you is so much that it spills over to the people around you. That's collateral blessings. And I want to talk to you about this tonight. I want to talk to you about it for two reasons. The first reason is because this church, the purpose for this church, our mission here is to empower people to give life. And so if you come and you sit on these chairs and you say, hey, I'm part of Good News Church, then you can expect to be empowered to give life. And we're expecting you to actually go out and give life. And ultimately that means giving somebody the good news, the gospel that'll bring a transformation. But it's what Vanessa's going to be doing with Olivia and three or four other people on May the 11th, which is to pray for people, minister to the sick and encourage people and even give them material things that they may need. And we could just go through a lot of things that are included in giving life. But I want you to understand, the reason I want to share this with you tonight is this is something that's a real part of us giving life. It is God's collateral blessings in our life. And then the other reason that I want to talk to you about it is so that you can expect it. So that you can believe God for it. So you can, you know, build your expectancy that not only are God's blessings flowing towards you and you know, overwhelming you, but that you can expect them in other people's lives around you, that it'll just overflow. Now, I started really thinking about this one. Well, first of all, if you've been around here very long, you've heard Matt say that he wants people, when they come in the door there, to experience God's love. Well, God's love will be manifested through us. But, you know, God's love isn't just for in here, it's for out there. And the Bible says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So, yes, God loves us, but the love of God isn't just for us, it's to flow out of us to other people. Then, you've heard Pastor Matt talk about when you arrive on the scene, peace comes. And he's told you many stories about situations and circumstances where he's walked in and there was chaos, and just his very presence brought peace. Not because he's such a great guy, but because the one who's in him brings peace. That's part of those collateral blessings. Well, I want you to see and to understand that we should all expect that whatever God has blessed us with and whatever he's doing in us and doing, you know, in our lives, that we can expect that to overflow to the people that are around us. Because, you know, the people around you need God. The people around you need the love of God. They need the peace of God. They need these collateral blessings. They need the benefit of that in their lives. And it's really one way God will reach them. So I think about a scripture over Matthew chapter 6, verse 38. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Why would it need to run over? For somebody else, for others. See, you were the intended target. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. But then when it runs over, that's that collateral blessing going out on someone else. Even the psalmist David and what we call the 23rd Psalm. And when he starts off, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he talks about all the things the Lord does for him. And he gets down in there and he says, my cup runs over. He doesn't say my cup is full, which it would be good to say my cup is full, but he doesn't. He says my cup runs over. And that's another, to me, image of that collateral blessing, that not only is God blessing me, but he's blessing others through me, that those that are around me are going to benefit from the blessings of God just because I'm there, because I'm on the scene. Now, let's see this in the Bible in some practical terms. Turn over, if you will, to Genesis chapter 12. You know, your family is blessed to have you in their family. They are. Now, it might take a while for it to dawn on them, but they're blessed just because you're in the family. They are. And I've seen some of you, I've known you long enough to see that when you came to God and started finding out God's plan for your life and you began to walk in God's blessings on your life, your family wasn't that excited about it. But over time, as God's blessings have been running over in your life and they have taken on this form of collateral blessings, it has begun to bless them. And many of them have come to know the Lord. Many of them have received God's goodness. And now they're the intended targets of God's blessings. But it started with you and what was overflowing in your life. Think about that. How many of you have seen that? You've seen other people blessed because you're there. Now, you know where else you really see this? Is on your job. You see this on your job, and you're gonna see this in the scriptures. We go through some, we're gonna read a good many scriptures here. You're gonna see that God's people, when they're on their job, when they're doing business, that the business is blessed because they're there. Because they are there. The business is blessed. The people, even the employers are blessed because of the employee who is blessed. But it's not because the employer knows God, not because that employer's in faith, not because the employer, you know, is walking in the blessings of God. It's just because of the employee. And I want you to grab hold of this tonight. And so for some of you, maybe it's a reminder, maybe a refresher, but a little different way to look at it. But I want you to know that not only are you blessed, but there are collateral blessings all around you. And you're like Pigpen, except in a good way. Y'all remember Pigpen, right? Pigpen, I think we've kind of gotten beyond the Charlie Brown. Do y'all know Pigpen? Y'all are young enough to might not know. Pigpen was a character in Charlie Brown, and Pigpen, wherever he went, there was a cloud of dirt and dust and funk all around him, just swirling, you know, wherever he was going. But, you know, and when he came along, I loved it. The cartoons, when he'd come, it was always right there with him, you know. He was just a dust cloud. Yeah. And so, I think he's been to my house. But anyway, he's just going along there. But you're like that, except in a good way. You're like that, except it's God's blessings that are going along with you, and they're floating off to other people, so to speak, and they're settling in on other people because you're there, because God's blessings are on you. How many of you are blessed tonight? I'm not going to take time to teach about how you're blessed, because you should know you're blessed. But are you over in Genesis chapter 12? Genesis 12 says, now the Lord, verse 1, now the Lord had said to Abram, now this is Abram, who later God changes his name to Abraham, but his name is Abram now, but the same guy. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. Boy, that sounds good. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You talk about collateral blessings. God is saying to Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to overflow the blessing so much that through you all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. That's pretty good. So you can see here, God's plan from the beginning has always been to bless his people, to be a blessing to others. His plan has never been just, okay, Matt, you belong to me and I'm going to bless you. But too bad, Terry. Too bad, Vanessa. Too bad, Georgette. It's just for Matt. No, his plan, his intention has always been that whoever would believe in him, whoever would trust in him, whoever would have faith in him, that would open the doorway for his blessing, but it wouldn't just open the doorway for them. It would open a big, big, big doorway, a window, a huge gate that would flood blessings that wouldn't just be for one person, but would come in them and through them and then all around about them. And there would be collateral blessings. That's what God wants to do. He wants to bless all the families of the earth. He wants every person to be blessed. But he started here. This is the first person that he told this is way back at the beginning in Genesis. First person that he told, I'm going to bless you. And so God did bless him. We find down in Genesis chapter 13, the next chapter over, we find in verse 2, it says something interesting. It says, Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Or Abram, at this time he was still Abram. He was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. So he was rich. God's blessing was on him. Now, of course, God's blessings are not limited to material things, but that is part of God's blessing. But it's not, you know, really that's kind of a low-level blessing when you start thinking about it. Material things are sort of a low-level, but thank God for material blessings, because we all need, we all need finances and we need, you know, material resources, don't we? How many of you could use a little extra here tonight? Yeah, probably so, all of us. Okay. But, you know, so that's good. But, you know, there are other ways that God blesses us, and I won't get into all of them here tonight, but just know that this is just one way that God blesses people. But we can see it, you know, very plainly here that God was blessing this man, Abram, right here. And he blessed him so much that he became very rich. And the Bible tells us that he became rich in material things. Now, if we keep on reading in verse 5, we come to a man named Lot. Does anybody know who Lot is? Abraham's nephew. That's who Lot was. He's Abraham's nephew. Now, when Abraham left from his family, the way that God told him to, when he left, he took Lot with him. And I think he probably should have left Lot behind after what happened. You see, in the long run, he was disobeying the Lord. But he did take Lot with him, and Lot went with him. But it wasn't Lot that was being blessed. It was Abraham that was being blessed, and Lot went with him. And he was associated with him. He was in close association. In fact, in many ways, Abram treated Lot like a son. Now, when you get down to verse 5 of chapter 13, it says, Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now, listen to this. This is a very interesting passage. It says, now the land was not able to support them. Who? Abram and Lot. That they might dwell together. For their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. Notice here that it doesn't say that Abraham's possessions were so great that there wasn't room for him. It says that Lot, his nephew, just an associate of his, not one that believed God and trusted in God. Now, let me remind you what happened. Anybody know what happened to Lot after this? Yeah. Tom knows. Tom knows his obliterating scriptures. You know, he knows about the people that get wiped out. Yeah, Lot is the guy that went down to Sodom and Gomorrah, took his family down there, and he's the one that God had to send the angels down to rescue from Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot is the one whose wife didn't want to leave, and as they were being taken out by the angels, she turned around and looked, and she turned to a pillar of salt. Y'all remember that story? That was Lot's wife. So based on just what happened to them, the fact that he chose to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah, the fact that when it was time to go, they weren't that willing to go, and the angels had to take him and lead him out, and his wife turned to, you know, longed for it, turned longingly and looked back, was turned to a pillar of salt. I would say Lot wasn't necessarily a guy who had his heart towards the Lord. He wasn't a guy who, he wasn't spiritually in the same place as Abraham. Let me say it that way. Would you agree? He was a guy that was sort of along for the ride, and he was getting in on Abraham's blessings just by association. He was just enjoying the collateral blessings. But look what the collateral blessings did in his life. It made him so wealthy that he couldn't dwell with Abram anymore. The land wouldn't support him. He had to take his sheep and flocks and herds, and he had to go another place because, so they could have land to support him. There was so much. Do you understand? You do know in their day, the herds and the sheep and the flocks, all those things, that was where the money was, right? So that was their livelihood. It wasn't just, you know, had two cars. That was the kind of, they were in, you know, agriculture business. That was the business they were in. So you look at that. Look at that blessing that was on his life. And this is just one place that we see it. So let's just keep going. Go down to Genesis. If you're still in Genesis, go on down to Genesis 30. Abram, who became Abraham, he had some kids. Does anybody know who his kids were? Well, he had Hagar. And Hagar had a son named Ishmael. And then He had a wife, Rebecca. He and Rebecca had a child named, excuse me, I shouldn't have made that noise. Yes, Isaac. And then Isaac had two sons. What were their names? Oops, Jacob and Esau. That's right. So down in Genesis 30, we find Jacob, who would be Abraham's grandson. And Jacob had an interesting situation. Jacob had gone over and had joined up with the family of Laban. And Laban had a daughter that Jacob was interested in. And Jacob wanted that daughter, and so Jacob was going to work for 7 years to get that daughter. And when he worked for 7 years and he finally got the daughter, he didn't get the daughter he wanted. He got a different daughter. And so then Laban said, okay, well, you want the other daughter. Like, maybe you should have been more specific, but he knew he did him wrong. So he said, you got to work another 7 years. You want to get the daughter you want. And so he ends up working for Laban for now for 14 years. And now let's take it up in verse. Well, then he started having kids with these daughters and with others as well. It's really interesting when you see where the tribes of Israel came from. They came not just from these two wives, but from others as well. Boy, they had some kind of mixed up stuff going on back then, didn't they? Man, I wonder how men make it with one wife, much less two and some, you know, maids. Boy, they had it going on. But then it says down in verse 25, and it came to pass when Rachel, this was the daughter he really wanted, when she had borne Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you. Now look what Laban says to him. Laban says to him, please stay if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. You know what this would be like, Sean? It'd be like you going in to your, you know, employer and you saying, you know, I found another job that I want to go to, and I'm here to tell you I'm going to be leaving your employee and I'm going down to another job. I have another place I'm going to go, and just wanted to let you know, I want to give you my notice. And the employer would look at Sean, somebody maybe he's been with a long time, and say to him, Sean, please, if I found favor in your sight, please don't do that. Please stay here with me, because I have learned by experience that I have been blessed because you're here. That my business has gone well because you've been in it. Just because you're here, I've prospered. Wouldn't that be good to know? You should have gone in earlier and asked for a raise. So that's what he's saying to him. I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Isn't that good? Well, why don't we just say something about that? Say, the Lord blesses others for my sake. You see that? The Lord blesses other people for your sake. Because you're in where you are. And you know, we all go in different places. Wherever you work, the people there are blessed. The business or what organization there is blessed for your sake. And you can expect this. You can believe God for it. You can have the attitude that this is what should be happening and thank God for it. What we talked about last week. Remember last week we talked about finding something that the Bible says, and then you asking God for it, and then believing that you receive it when you ask Him. You remember last Wednesday night we talked about that? You can do that concerning this. We see this in the Scripture. That's what I'm showing you. I'm building the case out here tonight that again and again, people are blessed. There's collateral blessings because we, the targets of God's blessings, because we're there, then there's this overflow, this running over of blessings into other people's lives, into the businesses that we're associated with, the organizations, the families, whatever it is that we're associated with. There's a blessing from God on that because we're there. You can see how that would help you to give life there, can't you? You can see how that would enable God to show His love and His goodness to people, can't you? All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, brother. All right. Now let's just go on down a little more. Now, because Jacob, he ended up having, as we know from the scripture, 12 sons. He was a busy man. And let's go to chapter 39. I just want you to see how it started off here, and then we're going to go over into the New Testament. But you see it here. You see it. My goodness. I'm not going to take time to go through and show you in Daniel's life and other people's lives, but you see it throughout God's dealings with his people. Now we're in Genesis 39, verse 1. Joseph, this is one of Jacob's sons. He had been taken down to Egypt. Y'all remember the story? His brothers put him in the pit and took his coat from him, remember? And told his dad that he'd been then killed, but he hadn't been. They'd sold him into slavery. And says, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. So he's been sold into slavery and bought by Potiphar. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Well, that's a good verse. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Y'all see this? Do you know this was in the Bible? It's collateral blessings. God blesses other people for your sake. God blesses your business or your school or your company or the organizations you're involved with. He blesses your family. He blesses other kinds of organizations or people groups that you're involved in. God blesses others because you're there, and he does it for your sake. And it's an overflow. You're the target, but then it overflows, and he blesses what's going on around you because you're there. Now, some of you are believing God for your family members to be saved or to come to the, you know, knowledge of the Lord. This is a really good principle here, because God is working in your life, and what he's doing in your life, he's brought blessing on your life. Well, Vanessa, you're a great example of this. Vanessa opened up her heart, her life, gave her heart to the Lord, opened up her life, began to trust God and walk with him. And you know what? God's blessings then started working through her and into her family. Now, see, God used her to be able to lead her grandmother to the Lord. Then she went home to be with the Lord. And then her father to the Lord. And then he went home to be with the Lord. That's the greatest collateral blessing there is right there, isn't it? But it came through somebody, and God then began to work in that family, and others were blessed for her sake. Do you see how it works? In other people, because I tell you, sometimes you look around you and you think, man, all these people, and I wish they knew what I know, or I wish that they could experience what I'm experiencing. Well, I believe God one day they will, and you just continue to pray and give life and do what you know to do. But meanwhile, trust God for the collateral blessings to be operating and for him to bless others for your sake. Just because you're there, other people are being blessed. Isn't that good? I tell you, that gives you confidence too, just in whenever you might feel that you're under the gun or that you're being threatened in some way. I know a lot of people have faced things with their jobs in the last 5 years. And I tell you, it's good when you understand that business is blessed for your sake, that because you're there, there's some things happening that wouldn't be happening. Good things are happening because you're there. Again, I'll tell one of Matt's stories. I'm not going to tell the whole thing because you've heard it a number of times, but you remember when he was working up at the paper mill, and he was the controller up in Saluda, up above Johnston, and he was there, and they'd said, we're closing this place down. And when they did, there'd be more than 100 people were about to lose their jobs. And Matt said, no, we're not going to do that. And he didn't get upset for his sake. Matt wasn't concerned for his sake because he knew he would be fine, but he was concerned about the 100 people who they'd worked in this job. A lot of them had gotten out of high school and went straight into this and had worked at this company their whole life. And here they would be if this is shut down. There were families that two or three brothers and a father and an uncle worked there. And if this place shut down, where are they going to go and get a job? It's the only job they've ever known. And this place gets shut down, then there's whole families going to be messed up. And so Matt, just understanding this principle that I can do something here, that there's a, even though these people may not know the Lord, may not want anything to do with him. But because I'm here, for my sake, I can expect God to do something good for these people. I can expect blessings on this plant. And so he prayed and God gave him a plan and showed him how to intervene with the upper management, the people that were in another state making decisions, how to present information to them, and ended up sparing that plant where they would not lose their jobs. And they didn't, and the plant remained open. Thank God for that. But that was for, God did that on Matt's faith. God did that for his sake, not because of the people. Do you understand? And so you can use this principle when you're believing God for other people, that there is something that God will do for others just because he's good like that. And because he likes to do collateral blessings, I'm calling it. All right, we see that here. Now let's get over into the New Testament, and I'll show you a couple examples here, and then we'll go home. Luke chapter 5. Y'all remember what happened in Luke 5? Jesus had been preaching that day, and the crowd had gathered on the shores of the lake there, and he needed a way to minister to people, and they were crowding around him. So he asked Peter, can I use your boat? And so he got in Peter's boat. Peter, who was a fisherman, had partners in the fishing business, but he used his boat to get out from the shore a little bit, whereas he could speak from the boat and his voice would carry over the water and the people could hear him, and he also wouldn't be so pressed by the people. So after he used Peter's boat, he told Peter, Peter, who had toiled all night and caught no fish, he told Peter, once you launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Y'all remember this? Come on. You're at Good News Church. You ever heard this story? I've never heard this story before. Really? Well, it's a good story. Luke chapter 5. Jesus told him to launch out into the deep and cast down your nets for a catch. And here we'll take it up in verse 5 of Luke chapter 5. It says, but Simon answered, Simon is Peter. He answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. Now here's where the collateral blessing comes in. So you see, he was being blessed, a great number of fish, so much his net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And what happened? They came and they filled both boats so that they began to sink. See, Peter's the one that loaned his boat. Peter was the one who was due the blessing, so to speak. But Peter's not the only one who got blessed that day. Peter's partners, through their association with Peter, they partook of God's blessing on Peter's life. So if you have partners, they can be blessed because of God's blessing on you. Y'all see this? It's collateral blessings. God overflowing in other people's lives. The same thing he's doing in your life, it'll flow over into theirs. And this is an example. I mean, it's all over. We could spend all night, but I just want to show you a couple more examples. Turn over to Acts chapter 16. This is an interesting one because this shows you that it doesn't just have to be your family. It doesn't have to just be your business partners. It doesn't just have to be where you work. It doesn't just have to be, you know, people that you're really chummy with. It can be just people that are in your presence, that God's blessings will come on you and will not just overtake you. They will overflow you so much that even though you're the intended target of the blessing, there'll be collateral blessings. And that's what we really see that in these next two examples I'm going to give you. Acts chapter 16. Y'all remember what happened in Acts chapter 16? Paul and Silas, they had been out ministering down at Philippi, and there was a woman there who was demon-possessed, and there were people who used her for profit. She was demon-possessed, and she could do fortune-telling and divination and all, and they used her for profit, and Paul cast the devil out of her, and when he did, the people who used her for money got really angry. And they had them thrown in prison, and they were beaten. The Bible says that they were beaten and thrown in prison. So now Paul and Silas are in prison. They're chained up in the deepest part of the prison. They're in chains. And at midnight, verse 25 of Acts 16, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. These other prisoners who were people in the prison who'd been thrown in prison for other reasons. Why do people get thrown into prison? Well, You think about it. You could probably come up with a reason or two. That's why they were there. And then verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately Paul and Silas, the door of their cell was opened. No, it's not what it says. It says all the doors were open. And everyone's, not just Paul and Silas's, but everyone's chains were loosed. Y'all see that? Are y'all starting to see this? I want you to see it. If you start looking for it, you're gonna start seeing it all over the Bible. That this is a collateral blessing. Who was God? Now, let me ask you, was God intending that night, do you think, that in, you know, his great wisdom, he was thinking, you know, I'm just going to go down to that jail in Philippi and all those who are in there for, you know, all the thieves and murderers and rapists and, you know, whatever they're in prison for, I'm just going to go down and just shake all their doors loose and shake all their chains off. Was that God's plan? I don't think so. Because we don't see him doing that anywhere else. It's not like something that happened all the time everywhere. It was just in this one case, Paul and Silas were there. And in the shaking that shook open their doors, that same shaking shook open everybody's doors. And that whatever it was, the violence that loosed them from chains, it didn't. Now, let me ask you, is God a big enough God that he could have just opened the door for Paul and Silas? Sure. Because we see another place in Acts that Peter was let go from prison, and he was the only one that was let go that time. But for whatever reason, this time, it went for everybody. They were all shook loose. The doors were all open. They were all, you know, all of them were loose from their chains. This is a collateral blessing. They weren't the targets. The murderers down the cell block were not the targets, but they were the ones that were loose too. We see in there, there's reason to believe if you read there, the jailer, he was saved and his family. And I think all the prisoners were probably saved, even though it doesn't emphatically state that. But that's kind of the idea, is that he had a big meeting right there and had a lot of people born again. So there was a lot of blessings going on, not just physical blessings. But you see that? These were people just happened to be standing around, sitting by in the vicinity, and they were blessed. Think about that. Just wherever you are in your life, people will be blessed because you're there. Isn't that good to know? So you can start expecting this in your life. Now, I'm going to tell you, you know who really understood this principle was Jesus. He did because, you know, whatever was going on, he could take care of it. When people were hungry, he could feed them. He was always, and that's really, I think, what the Lord's trying to show us is that it's not just what he wants to do for us, it's what he wants to do for others as well, through us and around us, just because they're in association with us, whether they're just standing by us on the bus, or they're in the prison cell beside us, or they work with us, or they're our partners, or they're our family members, whatever they are, God has blessings for them. They're collateral blessings. You're the intended target, but then they overflow. Isn't that good? All right, and let's just finish up here because this last one is a good one. And in the day we live in, this might be the best one. Paul, in the final days of his life, was headed out to Rome. He was going to make his appeal before Caesar down to Rome, and there was quite a journey for him to get there. And part of his journey, he was on a ship. He was on actually several ships. But he was on a ship, and they were in port, and he told them, look, we don't need to sail because I know by the Spirit of God, of course, they didn't understand that if we do this, this is not going to be good. That we're going to, you know, have a disaster. We need to stay where we are. Well, they didn't believe him. Just like some people don't believe you even when you know something by the Spirit. You ever had that? You just know that you know and you know God told it to you, but how are they going to understand it? Well, now we're in Acts chapter 27. We're watching Paul on this voyage, and we'll go down. A lot of things have happened to him, but down in verse 21, we'll just take up there. But it says, but after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and he said, this is when he's talking to the crew, the people in the ship, captain, all of them. He says, you should have listened to me and not sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Now he's telling them they're about to lose the whole ship and everything on it, but none of you are going to be lost. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Now that would be good to underline in your Bible. God has granted you all those who sail with you. Now we have no reason to believe that any of those people are believers. But God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. Isn't that good? That there are others who are there. They're going to be saved just because Paul's there. Their lives are going to be preserved. You know, it could easily have happened that everyone perished but Paul. The ship goes down. They lose everything in it. It would make sense that, you know, I mean, I could work it out where maybe that would have even been a better plan, that everybody would be, you know, would die except for Paul. Seems like that might be a good plan. But there was this collateral blessing that every person's life would be saved, not just Paul's, but all these who don't know God, all of them, that their lives would be saved. And let's go on down. We'll go on down to verse 43. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land. If you've never read this, I'm always giving y'all advice about what Bibles to read, what passages to read, but read this very interesting story of what happened here. He told them to jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. But what I wanted you to see was this. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. Now let me just ask you this. In the day that we live in, if there was a violent storm arose and we lost a ship went down and it was filled with a crew and people, what are the odds that in the day we live in that every person would make it to shore? I mean, we've seen that in some things that have happened. Even a cruise ship that, you know, tipped over just a few yards from shore, but people perished. But now think back then. Think, you know, what they had and their technology and all, that all of them would be saved. That seems very unlikely, doesn't it? But they all were saved. Were they saved because they were such great swimmers? No. Some of them just had to hold on to something that could float. But the Lord preserved their lives because of his blessing on Paul. Because he was preserving Paul's life, that preservation flowed over to those around him. This, I said, might be the most valuable of all, because, you know, it might be that someday you're in a place where your life is threatened. That's not, come on. We live in an evil world. Maybe you're in a place where people might be perishing. But may God grant you the lives of those around you. May others be saved. Not just you, but may others be saved just because you're there. May the protection of God that is a great blessing in our lives, may it overflow us and be for those that are around us. You see that? And if you're ever in that situation, here's you some verses. Here's a precedence. Here's something you can grab hold of and say, God, you preserved those men that were on that ship with Paul. They didn't know you. You preserved their lives. I know you're taking care of me. You're preserving me. You're bringing me through this alive and well and whole and strong. And may you grant me the lives of those who are with me. Or maybe if you're ever in a place where you're being held captive in some way, God, the way you release Paul and Silas, release us all. Isn't that good? Thank the Lord.